housed within the Environmental Conservation Lab on Treaty 1 territory, home of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Métis, and Dene people, you're listening to the Akiwan Podcast. This is Episode 7, titled Papa Menum, which is an Ojibwe word that means pay attention. In this special episode, guest host Bobby sits down with Manitoba Liberal Party leader Doug Lamont to dive into Bill 44 and the effects of hydro on First Nations and Manitoba residents. Buju Tansi. Of course, you all pretty much know who I am at this point. My name is Taylor. One of the spirit names that I carry is Brown Buffalo, and I come from the Fish Clan. I call Broken Head Ojibwe Nation my home community and one of the sacred places very near and dear to my heart. We thank you for tuning in to the Akiwan Podcast. So, Bindige, welcome. Come on in. So we are now into part two of season one of the podcast. And for this special episode, we're taking a little bit of a turn from the traditional teachings to help people better understand Bill 44 and the Manitoba Public Utilities Board, aka the PUB. Now, I believe it is important for all of us to learn about the environmental issues and injustices that are occurring right in our backyards. As extraordinary as learning about our culture truly is, it is also essential that we hear about other issues that we as Indigenous and non-Indigenous people face on a daily basis regarding industry and government. And for that, we have special guest host Bobby. Take it away.
My name is Bobby Manyeli, international student. I'm doing environmental science. Yeah, so I've been working with ONISKETAN, which is Alliance of Hydro Impacted Communities. So as part of communications, the whole Bill 44 came up. Yep. And I thought it would be interesting because we just started a podcast to maybe have responses on it.
Yeah. Well, look, it's a terrible bill. Basically, the entire point of the Public Utilities Board is supposed to be so that you have an independent board that protects people.
It protects
the people who have hydro from paying too much money. It's independent. I mean, the whole thing about it is that it's independent from hydro and it's independent from government. And what's being proposed in this bill is basically almost getting rid of the Public Utilities Board without getting rid of the Public Utilities Board. It's not new. So the idea, I just sent you that article from 17 years ago, mm-hmm. where NDP Premier Gary Doer was also really mad at the Public Utilities Board because they were saying, no, you know, Manitoba Hydro doesn't need to have a massive rate increase and to protect people who are from paying too much. And so it actually shows this is a long-standing problem under governments, whether it's PC or NDP. Mm-hmm. Our position is that the PUB should be intact, is that it's absolutely critical to have that independence and to make sure that people are protected. And it's also interesting because part of the reason I sent you that is not just to say, well, look, the NDP and the PCs have done the same thing, mm-hmm. but they're making the same arguments, saying, oh, it's too much. It costs so much money to do this. Well, the fact is that oversight doesn't come for free. Is that there's a real cost to doing things the right way. And you can, what they're trying to do, what the NDP at the time tried to do, what the PCs are trying to do right now is cut corners. They're trying to say, and it's really shocking when you dig into the details, basically the power to determine what rates are going to be is going to be taken away from the Public Utilities Board. Mm-hmm. They can just keep going up and up and up. They've said, well, it can either be 4% a year or twice inflation. Well, nobody knows what inflation could be, so it could be much more. And even though 4% doesn't sound like much, when you stack that 4% on 4% on 4%, pretty quickly you have much faster than you realize, because it's compound interest, you end up, you can end up doubling the cost of your, of hydro. And one of the things that they're doing without being open about it, mm-hmm. is the whole point of hydro is that it exists to provide low cost electricity, mm-hmm. to everybody. And so in doing that, it gets a monopoly to do that. But the whole point, and this is actually, I think this is what people have struggled with, this is what the PCs and even the NDP struggled with, is that the point of hydro is not to make as much money as possible. The point of hydro is to make sure that people can afford electricity and to keep the cost of living low for families and for individuals, and to keep the cost of business low. But that is not something, that's something that's gone out the window. It's sort of, people thought, oh, well, this will be like our oil. We can make as much money on it as we possibly can. That's not what you want a hydro company to do. You want it, yeah, you have to have that balance. And because it's a monopoly and because it's owned by government, you have to have somebody there, the PUB, who can stand up for people. And it has to be something that's regular. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to shift it to make it every 5 years. I mean, it's really appalling, because they're completely dismantling independent oversight, mm-hmm. which protects people. And instead, it's all just going to go to the hands of the government, and where it'll be just decided by either the minister or cabinet, not even by the legislature. So these won't be decided. You won't be debated. It won't be decided by elected officials. It's just the government in power. And that is the exact opposite of what we've been arguing for, since I've been arguing for since before I was elected, mm-hmm. is that hydro is owned by all Manitobans. It belongs to all Manitobans, and it needs to be bigger than politics. Is that we should stop politicizing hydro. And I mean, even we were talking about this, who's asking for this? Who actually wants this? And it's not quite clear to me. Mm-hmm. Except that the other thing about hydro, it gets, look, there's no denying its massive impacts on displacing communities, flooding out communities, the presence of work camps where Indigenous people were abused, sometimes criminally. It's really terrible. So there is a long legacy of damage that needs to be compensated for. But the other is that in terms of revenue, mm-hmm. that provincial governments have used, just keep taking hundreds of millions of dollars out of hydro every year. And this is a thing that's important to understand, because and it's really actually unfortunate, and it's new. But one of the things that's happened is that the worse that things get for hydro, the better it is for the government in power. And that's a hard thing. And I know it's hard to understand, because how can that be? It's because the way things have been set up is that when hydro takes on more debt, like the more debt that hydro takes on, the government of Manitoba charges a fee on that debt. So the more debt hydro has, the more money, mm-hmm. the government of Manitoba gets. The more dams they build, they pay capital taxes. The more dams they build, the more money they pay to the Manitoba government. And if those dams have cost overruns and cost $2 billion more, well, that's even more taxes that the government can charge. And there's also water rentals. So there are these three areas where the government of Manitoba takes money. And the worse it is, like, it really is true, the worse it is for hydro, the better it is for government. But the fact is, we own hydro. So there's a point when, if things get really bad for hydro, we're all going to have to pay for it, because they won't be able, all of a sudden, hydro won't be able to pay its bills. Mm-hmm. It has as much debt as the province of Manitoba. And all of a sudden, if hydro can't pay its bills, we're going to be all of us are going to be on the hook for it. Mm-hmm. So, and this is sort of the dirty secret of both the PCs and the NDP, is that for 20 years, they've actually used money from hydro to balance their books, or to make their books look better, so that instead of the debt going up on the government side, it all goes up on the hydro side. And then they blame hydro. Oh, it's hydro's cost overruns. It's actually because the government of the day can has these incentives. They're called perverse incentives, mm-hmm. that mean that the more trouble they put hydro into by saying, well, you've got to build this extra dam, you've got to spend an extra $1 billion on this transmission line by putting it in a different place, the government of Manitoba actually benefits from those things. And that shouldn't be happening. So part of it is, we've said, is look, and actually the Public Utilities Board has done the same thing, that the government of Manitoba should actually give $900 million to hydro, mm-hmm. and let them have a break.
So some would say that Manitoba Hydro works closely with the current government. Is a political interference a conflict of interest, given that the government is to speak for the people?
Well, there's, yes, I would say yes, because there's a difference between, the way I see it is that Manitoba, it's not just the government of the day or the political party of the day. Mm-hmm. I talked to the premier about this. There used to be an organization that was set up with citizens as a buffer. So you had government, and then you had this commission that dealt with crown corporations, and then they would communicate to the crowns. But each one of these corporations, whether it's Hydro or Manitoba or MPI, they all have their own board. Mm-hmm. They're all supposed to be, because they're not just supposed to be a government department. They aren't, it isn't, it's actually not the premier's job to tell these companies what to do. And they belong to all Manitobans. So Hydro's job is not to help the PCs or the NDP get reelected. Mm-hmm. Hydro's job is supposed to be to provide electricity at the lowest possible rate to as many Manitobans as possible. And it's the same thing with MPI. It's the same thing with Manitoba Liquor and Lotteries, although it's a bit different, but or it's similar. They have their own jobs to do that are supposed to be free from politics, because you don't want a situation where the premier is ordering Hydro to do something that only benefits people in his party or benefits a select group of people. It's supposed to work for everyone. Mm-hmm. And what's happened, and this bill is the worst example of it, but we've seen it. They eliminated the civilian group that was supposed to be to interact with crowns, mm-hmm. and the entire Hydro board resigned. Although that was odd, because he wouldn't meet with them, but now they've appointed a whole bunch of people. And even in the Hydro cuts that have been proposed this spring, the premier said, well, we're asking everybody for cuts. And Hydro said, okay, well, what can we do? It's like, that's not Hydro's job. Hydro makes money. It's still profitable. It's providing essential services, and there's no reason to lay anybody off. And it's not the premier's job to tell them to lay anyone off, but that's what they've been doing. And some of it is just, I actually tried to warn the premier about this, to say, look, I mean, there's a reason you don't put your fingers in all these pies, and it's that you can get burned. It's not good for it's political interference is bad, but it also means that you're messing around with something you don't know what. The premier's not an expert in hydroelectricity and car insurance, and neither am I. Like, some of these things is you leave these things to experts. But the other really important thing is that if you're living in a democracy, you have to have set up systems where people have an obligation to say no, and are empowered to say no. And that's part of what the sort of civilian oversight was supposed to do. And it's also what the Public Utilities Board is supposed to do. They are empowered and free to say no to Hydro and to say no to the premier. And that's being eliminated. And that's probably the biggest possible. That is probably the simplest way to explain what is so wrong with this bill.
So the power of saying no goes hand in hand with public consultation, right?
Absolutely.
They did bring forth the first reading of Bill 44, and the public consultation consisted of putting it out on a website with a short window of response. So this approach has been widely criticized. What is the best way to consult people when it comes to matters such as these?
Well, it has to be meaningful consultation. And by meaningful, and some of it is actually just going beyond that and working in partnership with people. Because It happens a lot with this government. You know, they'll put up a poll on a website and say, well, we consulted with people. But part of it is you actually have to sit down and listen to people and take their ideas and pay attention because it's the same thing with saying no. It's also being recognizing that you might be making a mistake and that someone else is going to point it out for you. And that's actually a good thing if somebody else is helping, is preventing you from making a big mistake. But that's part of what the entire Public Utilities Board is also supposed to do, is that it provides people with an opportunity to put forward arguments. And that is being denied. And one of the things that happened just in this spring, I think that the PCs got reelected and have this huge amount of legislation they just want to push through. And they dropped it all the day before the budget and then ended up being held up. But everything's been disrupted as a result of the pandemic by accident, but it's given up people an opportunity to see what is actually happening, is that they haven't been able to pull a fast one and ram all this stuff through. Actual consultation would mean public hearings. It would mean having committees where people are given the opportunity and time ahead of time to say, look, you know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a public hearing on this. You should be able to present in person, remotely, or by paper or whatever. But the frustrating thing about this is that so much of what this government does, the PCs, is just going through the motions. So you'll have presentations at committee. People will come forward with good ideas in important changes, and they won't actually make their way into legislation. So it's actually some of it is doing it the right way. Consulting with people, making sure that we're listening, actually making those changes. Like it's not, that's the way it's just, we should run things the way they should be run because that's, it really does make things better. And like I said about corner cutting, there's just this sort of, I think there's a belief on the part of the PCs that they're right and they just got to get this through, and that opponents are just aren't worth listening to, or they just want to pay them lip service. So that it's all those things. But I mean, fundamentally, there's an ideological component of understanding what hydro is supposed to be and how it, what it exists for. And the idea, and that to me is its original mandate, low cost power for everyone. And getting away from that is not going to ultimately will hurt everyone.
So far you've spoken as like the leader of your party. So speaking just a citizen of Winnipeg or Manitoba, would you have a rough idea of how much your last hydro bill was?
We're not on a plan and I have natural gas at home. Okay. I know that it's, you know, it's in winter, it can be, sometimes it's $300 or more. In summer, it's usually around 150, $200.
Okay, so the follow-up to that was, how important is a PUB in determining the price tag on that bill?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. Yeah, I mean, the PUB makes that decision and hydro doesn't really have much of a choice about it. And when you look at the details, it's really shocking the way that the PUB is basically being stripped down and made powerless. And I really don't even, in looking at it, we go, I don't know who benefits, right? Except the one thing about it, I think, is to go back to my one possible explanation is just that it's an alternative to raising taxes. Is that they don't want to raise, they want to say, oh, well, we're not going to raise taxes, we can cut your taxes. But everybody else is paying for it because this allows massive increases in electricity rates. And that, it's just a way of, it's actually quite similar to what the city of Winnipeg has done with water fees, is that you're not actually paying for your water, you end up, but that's an area where they can really, they can collect a lot of revenue, even though it's got nothing to do with water. So, I mean, part of it is we've called for honesty in accounting, and that taxes should be paid, the things that taxes should be used to pay for things that are for taxes, and that hydro should be left alone as much as possible. And And if that's, it is incredibly important because it has just been so politicized. It's turned into a political football over the years. And it really is incredibly important and valuable to all Manitobans, recognizing, of course, the legacy it's had in the past, but it has enormous potential, and it makes me sad, frankly, that I think the NDP and the PCs have put it at risk. But it's absolutely still rescuable.
Would you have any closing remarks?
I just want to say thank you very much. That voices like yours and the organization you belong to are really important. And keep speaking up. And that's actually probably the most important thing I can say, is that there are lots of people who you can fear that people don't care, or people aren't listening, or that it doesn't matter. But having the courage to speak up and on these issues is really important, because the more people who know about it, the more we can make change.
Sure. Okay. So that's the end of the interview. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah. Have a great day.
Miigwech, Bobby, and Mr. Lamont for sharing your insights on Bill 44 and the PUB, the Public Utilities Board. If you'd like to learn more about Bill 44, there is a link on the episode description for you to visit. You can also take a stand against Bill 44 by joining the ongoing social media actions on Instagram at Waniskatan. That's Waniskatan, but it's all posted on the description as well for you. As well as you can follow us on Facebook. Waniskatan is another organization, kind of like the mothership organization that myself and Bobby work for. And we have Facebook and Instagram for you to follow along on the social media actions. All links are provided, as I said, as well. You've reached the end of Episode 7, Papa Minam, of the Akiwan Podcast. I'd like to thank Bobby for hosting, Mr. Lamont for his time, UMFM 101.5 for hosting our podcast, and of course, to you for listening. If you have any questions or would like to be a part of Akiwan, please email me at akiwan@umfm.com.